Well, good morning to you, and so glad that you are here. Thank you for joining us today at Second Baptist, and if you're a guest, we just want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you for joining us. If you are one of our guests, we would love to connect with you. Whether you're a first-time guest or first time in a long time, you can do that one of two ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you wouldn't mind filling that out, giving us some information about who's worshiping with us today. And at the end of service, we'll have a time to receive the offering, and you can just place that in the offering plate. Or if you're here in online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. You can click that, fill out that short form, and again, it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us today and how we can connect and serve you. And so again, we're grateful that you're here, grateful to have you today as a guest. And so I do want to mention a few announcements to you this morning. First of all, we have our quarterly business meeting. We have gone away from monthly. We are now quarterly. And so quarterly business meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. And so if you're a member of our second family, we really encourage you as best you can, try to be here tonight at 5 o'clock for our business meeting. Also, next Sunday, we're having our involvement fair. And this is just a way for us to highlight the different ministries, the teams and activities that are happening in the life of our church. Many things you may be aware of, but I believe there are many things that you maybe don't even realize that are happening and going on. It's also a way for you to be able to connect and help us fulfill the mission and purpose in which God has called us to, God has commanded us to fulfill here. And so I want to encourage you to make plans. It will be a normal Sunday morning schedule followed by a lunch. And as a part of that, we will have our different representatives, our ministry teams are there. There will be things, activities you can sign up for, or there will also be ways that you can sign up and be involved in these different ministries. And so we're just really working to highlight that next Sunday. So whether you are a member or a guest, we'd love for you to stay around, make plans to have lunch with us next Sunday, and learn more about the ministries they're taking place here at Second Baptist. Now, as a part of that, the fellowship team has made the plan for us to have an Italian-themed meal following next Sunday morning's service. And there is a sign-up sheet at the welcome desk, if you'll excuse my pointing, just right out front here. And so we encourage you, if you can, would you go by, look at that, and sign up to bring a dish of some sort and be with us next Sunday. Last thing I want to announce to you this morning is involvement fair next week, and then the following Sunday, March the 6th, we are having another Tech Sunday. We have some groups on campus that we've invited different organizations to come and be a part. It sounds like we could have a lot of students here with us, and so just want to make you aware of that. Be praying for that Sunday. We're planning to provide a lunch for them afterwards. Now, again, you'd be welcome to stick around. It's probably going to be hamburgers and hot dogs, good college ministry food, and anyway, so I hope that you'll make plans. Maybe you can come and enjoy that time as well. But Tech Sunday on March the 6th. Next Sunday is involvement fair. Tonight is Sunday night business meeting. There will be a test at the end of today, so I hope that you've gotten that all right? Well, last thing I want to do is I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. As I was just coming in and looking around and hearing the talk and the fellowship and all that was taking place, this is what came to my heart and my mind. Psalm 122, it said, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And this ought to be a place where we enjoy one another's fellowship, where we celebrate. It ought to be a place of joy and happiness and a place of real life too, right? There's brokenness, there's struggle, there's heartache, there's pain today, no doubt. But my heart is excited that we get the chance to gather together and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. And God, I pray that everything that is said and done today would bring honor and glory to you, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that you would hide us behind your cross, fill us with your Spirit. I pray your Holy Spirit would be present in this place. And Lord, we just love you, we praise you, we thank you for all things. Thank you for the guests today. I pray you bless them. And we pray and ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
stand as we sing, "To God Be the Glory."
Purchase of blood to every being. the power to raise the dead. Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. And who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free? He paid it all to bring us peace. Jesus, only Jesus.
Amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn to the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews, beginning in chapter 11 and verse 32. And just sitting there thinking, I pray that that is the mantra of your life and mantra of our life as a church, that Jesus and only Jesus, He is the only one worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of our life poured out for His sake, for His glory, and for His mission. And so we want to be a Jesus church, that we exalt Him in all that we say and do. And so this morning we are going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 32. And I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, The Legacy of Faith. Legacy of Faith. So I realize you just sat down. I apologize. But if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? And the Word of God says, "And what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength in weakness, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourging, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the desert and on the mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. God in heaven, I pray that this morning, God, we would be a Jesus church. And that this morning it would be Jesus and only Jesus. And Lord, I pray as we sang, God, we realize that you, Savior, you want to save this morning. And so I pray that for anyone who is here or listening online that may not know you, that God, that they would be saved today. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, our focus is the legacy of faith. We have walked through, some might add slowly, through the book of Hebrews, and especially Hebrews chapter 11. And you remember that the focus of Hebrews is Jesus is greater. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than the Old Testament law. He's greater than the priests. He's greater than the prophets. He's greater than all these patriarchs and matriarchs of the faith. And so Hebrews chapter 11 goes into that and gives this heroes of the faith, this roll call of individuals who have demonstrated incredible acts of faith. And then we get toward the end here, and what happens is, for those of you who remember cassette tape days and so on, he puts it in fast forward, okay? We got to kind of pay attention a little faster, or some of you, you podcasters, you're playing it a little bit faster to get through it, right? So it doesn't take as long. But that's what he's doing here. He is walking through this, and he is flooded with memories and ideas of all these individuals who have demonstrated great faith. And so this morning, I want to preach to you the legacy of faith. And the main idea of the text is this, is that we should be inspired by the legacy of faith of those gone before us. This ought to serve, hopefully, Lord willing, as an inspiration to you this morning. And because of that, we are going to walk in greater obedience, having looked back to this legacy that is being handed off to us. And so the question then, are you leaving a legacy of faith to inspire others? Are you, in essence, paying it forward? There's a lot of talk about paying it forward, of going through a restaurant line and paying for yours and the car behind you and this idea of paying it forward. And I want to challenge you this morning. That's a little bit of the idea this morning, is that somebody has laid a foundation. Yes, the work in Jesus and Jesus alone, yet He used men and women throughout the pages of history to lay a foundation of incredible acts of faith to inspire us, to push us on, that we may run our race to inspire others. That others may look, not just talk about how great Chris is, but go, man, 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 how great his God must be. And I want to live for Him. And that ought to be true for all of us. And so, are you leaving a legacy of faith to inspire others? There's three main ideas I want us, or three key truths I want us to dig out of the text this morning. Number one, a legacy of faith is evident. There is great evidence about the legacy of faith. So let's look back, verses 32 through 38. Here's the writer himself. Remember, he had just walked through Abraham and Moses and just all these different individuals, and he kind of surprises us. He uses the children of Israel as a whole as a great testament of faith, and then he moves on, talks about Rahab, and now here we are, verse 32. He says, and what more can I say? A rhetorical question, right? Time is too short for me to tell. Here's where he fast forwards it, about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophet. So quickly passes by several people. Then he talks about him, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength and weaknesses, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to fight. He is giving them a profile, a section in their bio about all these different things that have happened and taken place. And he is fast-forwarding through the pages of Scripture because he realizes that he has skipped several that he could have used, even from where he began with Jacob and Esau and so on and so forth, and then all the way down to Rahab, and there's still a lot of Israelite history that he could have walked through, and he realizes, man, there's too much. So just in these brief phrases he is giving us, he's named individuals, but he is also giving us brief phrases to remind, because you got to remember, this is a Jewish context. These are Hebrews, Israelites converted to Christianity that he is talking to. So as he mentioned these brief phrases, it brought back stories for them. They were a very oral communicating culture. And so what I mean by that is less dependent on writings. Yes, they had writings, but more of telling the stories to their kids and grandkids of the heroes of the faith, that they may remember that for generations. So as they're reading this, they're reading these little phrases, and man, it's stirring up memories of sitting in granddad's lap and learning about Samson and learning about these various heroes of the faith. And he continues on. He talks about great acts of the faith. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Other people were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Hold pause on that. Others experienced mockings and scourging, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and on mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Now listen, if you were to take that out of reading it out of the pages of your Bible, and you were to read that talking about a movie that was coming or some book that was coming out, and man, that might be sensational to think about or to read about. And I just want to hit pause for a moment and say, listen, the Word of God is fascinating. It is all true, it's inspired, it's inerrant, it's without error. But listen, don't read this book of the Holy Word of God and think it's just some boring book. There's some incredible acts of faith, some incredible stories that are here to read and for us to understand and grab a hold of. And so as I read this, it's just a quick reminder of all the things that God had done. Well, it's just a brief synopsis of things that God had done throughout the Old Testament. Testament. I just want to remind you about a couple of those. Samson fights the lions. In Judges chapter 4, verse 6, says that she summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh and Naphtali. And they said to him, "Hasn't the Lord God, the God of Israel, commanded you, go deploy the troops on Mount Tabor and take 10,000 men from the Naphtalites and Zebulites?" And he goes on, and later in Judges, we find out that Samson goes and he fights. He shuts the mouth of a lion and destroys him. And man, just the incredible strength that Samson has and how God uses him and God gives him strength and bless him just in incredible ways. And then we read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were told not to, they were told to bow down to the God of the country, but they wouldn't bow their knee, only to the God of heaven and the earth. And so they are thrown into this fiery furnace. They're thrown into this fire. And this is what it says whenever he looked in Daniel 3, 25, he said, he exclaimed, "Look, I see four men." They only threw three in, not tied, walking around the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. What had happened? The Son of God had met them in the fire. And here they were. They stood for their faith, bound up, thrown into this fire. And whenever they go over to look, and they realize there's not just three of them, there's four of them. These incredible marks of the faith. We read about Elijah restoring life. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 22. So the Lord listened to Elijah. He's crying out, asking God to heal this young boy. And the boy's life came back to him again, and he lived, and he restored him back. This is what we read about. The women received their dead back, is what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. And then we see 100, he says at the end of our section here, in verse 37, 38, that they were hiding in holes. They were hiding in caves. And 100 of the Lord's prophets were doing that. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. "And took 100 prophets and hid them, 50 men to a cave, and provided them with food and water when Jezebel slaughtered the Lord's prophets." And these men of God stood faithfully, strong in the face of adversity, strong in the face of persecution for their faith. We don't have time. I'm like the writer of Hebrews this morning. We don't have time to go through every one of these and read every one of these stories. But quickly, he names off so many. He's saying, look, Jacob and Esau and Moses and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And he just goes throughout the pages of history, and he gets to our section this morning, and he says, I don't have enough time to tell you about all of them. I don't have enough time to remind you of all the acts of faithfulness. And even in the list that he gives, it is not exhausted. But I need you to hear this morning that the legacy of faith that you and I are running on the heels of, because they have run their race, we have a great legacy of faith that has been left. And it is evident as you look through the pages of Scripture of how God used men and women in incredible ways. And so if you and I are going to run a legacy of faith, you need to realize there have been many others who have gone before us. It is evident that God has met them, God has used them, God has provided. So number two, a legacy of faith is tested. It's not only evident throughout the pages of Scripture, but I need you to see this morning in verse 39, it is tested. So look here at verse 39. All these, who's that? All that he just listed. All these were, mark or underline this in your Bible, approved through their faith. But they did not receive what was promised. The idea of approved here is that they were tested through their faith. They were individuals that were living for a holy God, and they came across some incredible adversity, and they were tested for their faith, and God met, and God blessed, and God used every single one of them. They had been tested. I need you to hear that this morning, is that, listen, you and I are not promised tomorrow. We have no idea what the days may come ahead, and some of you have been through some really hard times and really hard seasons in your life, and you may be, that you go, yeah, Pastor, I've got a testimony this morning about being tested, and some of you, the difficult days are ahead. There's going to be some days of hardship and struggle, And the reality is, if things continue the way they are, we will probably live in a country where we are significantly tested, if not persecuted, for our faith. I need you to hear this morning to create some resolve in you that as you look back, there's great evidence that spans the pages of Scripture and spans the pages of human history of individuals living for a holy God that is not only evident, but they have been tested for their faith. We know this. We started this way in Hebrews 11:2 says, "For by this our ancestors were," here it is again, "approved." They had been tested, found faithful. Hebrews 11:13, "These all died in faith." Notice this, "although they had not received the things that were promised, but they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth." We talked about this a few weeks ago, that they had run their race, they had been faithful, and yet they had not received what they believed in, and that is that a Messiah was coming. As we look at all these individuals, the list of individuals that the writer of Hebrews is talking about here is Old Testament individuals, all of them. And so they had a promise that a Messiah was coming, yet they all died before Jesus actually came. So what happened? Here's the idea then. They were all approved. They had all been tested, although they had not received the promise yet. They didn't get to see Jesus come in His day. You remember Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." What was He saying? Abraham knew that the day was coming when God would send His own Son, His Messiah, to be the Savior of the world. Although he didn't get to wait and be there that day, he had passed away already on this earth, but in heaven he rejoiced. But he lived his life looking ahead to the promise that was coming. Now you and I, we live our life looking back to the promise that has come. We celebrate Jesus, only Jesus. And so they were approved. They had been tested, although they had not received the things that were promised. Notice again, look in verse 35. "Women received their dead, raised to life again." Look at this. "Other people were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection." They weren't willing to bow the knee in the face of adversity because they knew there was a better day coming. And dear friend, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're struggling with. But know this, whatever it is you're facing, there's a better day coming. I don't know if it'll come this side of eternity, but I know this, when you and I take our last breath, there's a better day coming for all of us that have placed our faith and trust in Him. And so a legacy of faith is tested. And now here we are, number three of today's message, a legacy of faith is motivational. It's motivational, and I need you to see this in verse 39 and 40. "All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised." Now look at verse 40. "Since God had provided something better for us," provided something better for us, "so that they would not be made perfect without us." So that they would not be made perfect without us. That is, finished or completed. Now here's what you got to understand. Us saying that there's evidence of this great faithfulness and there's been this testing, that they have been tested, it does not mean that these individuals were perfect, right? We see David referenced. He was a murderer and adulterer. Samson, not faithful to his vow. Time and again, these individuals were not all that you and I sometimes idolize them to be. They were men and women with great struggles and great hardships, yet in the face of adversity, they remained faithful. God gave them strength to remain faithful. But I need you to hear this, is that they ought to be motivational for us. Since God had provided something better for us, this looking back and seeing their faithfulness, yet, here's what he's saying to the Hebrews, Jesus has come. and Jesus saves. Remember, the theme is Jesus is greater. So whenever you and I repent, we place our faith and trust in Jesus, the something greater is that you and I are changed. We are no longer the same individual. We are new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But then there's this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is used to help us come and be more like Jesus, but then live faithfully for Jesus. That's the better that is to come, the better that you and I have to enjoy. But I want you to notice this phrase, and I really struggled with it for a while I was studying for this. Notice the last phrase of chapter 11, verse 40. So that they would not be made perfect without us. The idea of perfect, and you may write this in the margin of your Bible, means to complete or finished. So I thought, what? You know, here we are. This chapter is celebrating all these great Old Testament saints and this incredible mantra at the end of just this fast forward. Let me give you the quick version of all these individuals. And then the last phrase says that they won't be complete without us. What in the world? Well, the idea that this should be motivational. To be careful here, we've got some experts in the room, but this is a baton for relays, okay? Relay, there are different formats and different forms in which this takes place, but the idea is that there is a team of individuals that are running a race. And now one of those races is maybe like a 4x100. Around the track is 400 meters. And so when you run a 4x100, there are four different individuals, and each one of them runs 100 meters. Now, what has to happen is an individual, the first person on the team, will start with the baton, right? Many of you have seen this. And they will run as hard as they can, and then there's a certain section in which they're running that they have to hand the baton off to the next runner. And that happens. So it happens from the first to the second. The second one runs their 100 meters, happens to the third. And then after the third, you have an individual, typically they're the anchor, they're the fastest, all that sort of thing, they're the baddest of the bad, right? And they're in their section waiting for the handing of the baton. Here's what I believe is happening in verse 40 with this idea, so that they cannot be completed without us. Here's what I believe the picture is that Hebrews is writing. And I base this, and we'll see this in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I believe that in this day and time that athletic competitions were not uncommon, okay? And he's writing with this context of saying there is a race that is taking place. The race has spanned all of humanity. And here you and I are standing after Jesus has come. He has died. He is the Savior of the world. And for these Hebrew believers, they have repented, placed their faith and trust in Christ. And what happens is that the writer here is painting a picture of the individuals that have run the race before them. And here's the idea, that if you are the leg of the race, you are the anchor, okay? You're the last one. Here's the picture. I am watching the heroes of the faith, the Abraham and the Isaacs, and man, they're taking off, and they have handed off to the next one, and they're handed off to the next one, and they're handed off to the next one, and they're handed off to the next one. And now here's what you need to hear, church family. No matter how well they run, they are not going to cross the finish line, if you will, because that's not until Jesus returns. And so no matter how much of a lead they have, no matter how faithful they've run their race, it is up to you and I to complete the race. So here's the picture. I've seen faithful saints through the Old Testament. I've read the stories, and God is using them. God is blessing them. God is doing great things in and through their life. And I'm watching, and I'm watching, and here it comes. It becomes my turn. And what happens to the last person of the anchor? They're standing there watching. Every one of those, whoever the last one, they're watching how their team competes. And they realize whether they're ahead or they're behind. And they're watching their teammates pour out everything that they have. And they're watching the handoff time and again, time and again, time and again. But yet at some point, they turn from watching and they are in their lane they are posed to take off, ready to receive the baton. And at some point, they can, if they're good, they're not running looking back, right? Some of you are experts in the room. That ain't the way it goes. Why? Because you'll run out of your lane, you don't run as fast, all that sort of thing. You have rehearsed it, and you know at some point, I've got to take off in a dead sprint, trusting it's going to be handed off. And when it does, it is free for all. I've got 100 meters to finish the race, and I've got to outrun whoever's beside me. Catch this, church. There's been a lot of faithful saints through the pages of the Old Testament that have run their race well. And God has used them in incredible ways. Jesus comes. He's the Savior of the world. Died for you and me, and He died for the New Testament local church. And there have been faithful saints ever since Jesus is coming who have run their race. And they have shared the gospel. They have planted churches. They have prayed. They have given. God has used them in absolutely incredible ways. Somewhere, late 40s, early 50s, God stirred in the hearts of some believers about a church that needed to be close to campus, that needed to be in this part of the city. And they ran their race of faith, believing God was going to do great things. And they planted a church, and then they built a little white church right here on this corner. And God blessed it, and God used it. And it grew in such a way, they had to go over here on the other end of the property and build another church, building. And God blessed that, and God used it. And said, oh, we need a building for education, and so they built that. Then, thank you, Jesus, they connected them. And then they outgrew that, and they came here, and they built this building where you're sitting today. Many of you have been running that race. Your race isn't finished yet. Many of us have just started running that race. But I need you to hear the language again, okay? Look at verse 40. So that they would not be made perfect without us. Oh, church. Christianity is not a me and my and I thing. Christianity is an us thing. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. There's no such thing as running a relay just with one person. It takes all of us. Every person in this room, every person online, it takes all of us. And dear friend, it cannot be completed without us. I need you, you need me, we need one another. And somewhere, somehow, too many of us have bought into this idea that I can do it on my own. I'm okay. I can just come here and there. I can just slightly connect and I'll be fine. But that's not the idea. That's not what we were intended to be. It's an us thing. So young and old, we need one another. Young and old, we need to run. Young and old, I realize that looks a little different in different stages of life. But my hope and prayer is that as you've looked back, as we walk through this and these Old Testament pages of Scripture that were inspired by the Old Testament saints, we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are inspired by the book of Acts and how the gospel spreads, and that you and I are here today because people prayed, people gave, people got together, people met together. This did not happen by a bunch of individual Christians not working together, running for the glory of God. It worked. And it happened because it was a group of individuals praying together, giving together, running together for the glory of God. comes on the heels of Hebrews chapter 10, right? Hebrews 10, 25. Not neglecting the gathering together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know what that means? As we get closer to the finish line, we need more people. Ephesians 1, 21 and 22. Far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title, not only in this age, but also the one to come. He has subjected everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church. And Ephesians goes on to talk about how we are joined. We are knitted together for the purpose of the body of Christ. And so my hope and prayer is this morning that as we look at the legacy of faith that has gone before us, that it's motivating, that we need you. We need you as one another, as a church family, to lock arms together, that we run the race of faith for His glory and for His kingdom. Now, dear friend, that only happens, and that's only effective as if you first have a saving relationship with Jesus. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have one thing in common for sure this morning, and is every one of us have a sin problem. And that sin separates us from a holy God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That you and I have chosen to do wrong, and because of that, we deserve death, not just physical death. It's talking about eternal death. It's talking about hell. But here's the sweet promise of that. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God knew that you couldn't be good enough to save yourself. God knew that you couldn't join enough churches. God knew you couldn't lock enough arms with people to get you into heaven. The only way that happens is through a saving relationship with Jesus. And the Bible says this, says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In verse 13 of chapter 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't know if you caught it, but we sang today that Jesus is the Savior. And we sang as an encouragement, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, be saved today. We sang that a few moments ago. And so I just want to challenge you, if you've never repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ and surrendered everything to Him, I'm not just talking about repeating words of a prayer or just making yourself feel better. I'm talking about you just giving all your life to Him, saying, God, I can't fix this anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm all that kind of thing. Just, God, here's everything. If you can take me and use me, here I am. And the Bible says God will save you. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. God, thank you. Thank you for your word and the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that God, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, I pray you'd save them. God, I pray you'd convict them of sin, of unrighteousness, and of judgment. I pray that they'd repent and believe on you. They'd turn from their sins and place their faith and trust in you. And if that's you today, I just want to encourage you right where you're at. You right now, call out to God. God, just ask Him, God, save me. Forgive me of all my sins. God, will you be the boss and master of my life? I give everything to you. Just talk to Him. Just pray right where you're at. Tell Him you'll go where you want Him to go, where He wants you to go. You'll be what He wants you to be, and you'll do what He wants you to do. Ask Him to be the Lord of your life and to save you. God in heaven, I pray that in this moment we'd respond in obedience to you, Lord. Here in just a moment, our musicians are going to lead us in a time of singing, but I want to tell you this. If God spoke to your heart this morning, whether it's about salvation or whether it's about something else, God spoke to your heart about salvation, I'm going to stand down front. You come. Say, hey, Pastor, I prayed. I need to be saved today. Or I prayed during that time of invitation. I asked God to save me, and I just want to help you with that. I want to be an encouragement to you. God dealt with your heart about something else, about running your race, or whatever's going on in your heart and your life. This front is open for you. You can come and pray. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe God dealt with your heart about you need to be baptized. You know you've been saved, but you need to be baptized. You come. Say, hey, Pastor, I need to be baptized. However the Lord works in your heart, you come. I'm going to pray one more time, then they're going to begin to sing. When I pray, finish praying, you come. Jesus, I pray we'd be obedient to you in this moment, and that, God, you would be honored. Give boldness to those that need to respond this morning, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You come.
Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And I cannot stand or fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I
my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank God we certainly need the Lord. Amen. Well, today is a special day as well. We want to take just a moment and honor someone who has run his race incredibly well. And Brother Al Ray Taylor, we want to take a moment and honor you, brother. And so you'll come join me. I'm going to have you stand on this side of me. And Al Ray, on Thursday was his 25th anniversary of serving Second Baptist of Russellville. Amen. And so we want to take a moment and honor him and thank him for how he has served the Lord. So, brother, we have a plaque for you. It says, present Al Ray Taylor. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. 25 years of faithful service at Second Baptist Church. Thank you, man of God, for your faithful years of service from your second family. And so we are really grateful for his years of service. And I just want to say just a couple things. I was thinking about this. That's a lot of songs.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of music, a lot of preparing, a lot of Wednesday nights with the choir, a lot of different things. It's a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of sacrifice for family. And Molly's here, and Lottie. And Maggie, unfortunately, had something go on at her house. She's dealing with a flooded house this weekend. She was planning to be here. And of course, Carrie has graduated to heaven. A lot of folks don't realize the sacrifice. And so to Molly and to Maggie, thank you for sharing your dad. And a lot of time growing up at church, literally, okay? A lot of time under these pews and all sorts of places, and we won't tell all those stories today, but thank you to the sacrifice of your family, and we really appreciate that and forever grateful for his service. We're not letting him go anywhere, but we want to celebrate 25 years as an incredible milestone of faithful service. Very few serve that long in one place. And to be quite honest with you, very few serve that long and are as faithful to the Lord and have a godly testimony before a congregation in the way that Al Ray does. And so I'm sure grateful for the years of him serving. And there is, we've been working on a project, We've made as many folks as we could, and I realize some of you here today, and I'll talk about this in a moment, not able to contribute just yet, but we put the word out that 25 years was celebrating, and I think we've got a gift, if they'll come on and bring it, that we want to give you and just celebrate with you. And so come join me here. So folks from the church have donated, and we went out and bought you a gift. And so wow. If you want to unzip that right there, we'll take the cover off this thing. slide that That's out of the awesome. Way and hang on just a second.
My goodness, that's great.
Yeah. Now, amen. Now, we'll say it does come with a caveat.
Yeah.
Jonathan just happened to be by Kroger this week, and they just happened to have some pork butts on sale.
Okay, okay.
And so staff lunch is on you on Wednesday.
All right.
And after business meeting tonight, no, I'm just kidding. We'll give you a couple days.
We I also learn how to use it first.
Yeah, that's right. We want you to do that, please. So, anyway, several have given, bought this. There's also money that will be we'll give to you. And I'll say this. I know many of you may be unaware that this was going on. We tried to do all that we could to surprise him. And so, good job. We are going to pray in just a moment, ask God's blessing on our offering. Also, if you want to contribute, you certainly can do that. Just make a note if it's love offering for Al Ray or however you want to do that. Make sure that's noted. That way, Sherry knows where everyone wants to be able to be a blessing to folks and that sort of thing, to Al Ray at least. So we're going to have our regular tithes and offerings. So ask some of our men if you'll get ready to get in place to help receive that. And then you can give your regular tithes and offerings. You can also give if you want to try to be a blessing to Al Ray in that way. We understand everybody's not able to do that. That's understandable. We just thank you for how you have given. Last thing we want to do, I want to ask a few of our men, would you come and gather around Al Ray, and we just want to pray for him before we leave. So I'm going to ask a few of you men if you'd come on, and so we can pray for him. I know it, not everybody at once right there. So anyway, once you step up so folks can gather around. There you go. Amen. Okay. If you're guests, thank you for being here. We appreciate you and thank God for you. And tonight, be back for our church folks. So, okay, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you, and we thank you for how good you are to us. Lord, and I know Al Ray's heart that Jesus and only Jesus. And we recognize that God, his testimony among the saints here is only because of you, Jesus, and what you've done in and through his life. God in heaven, I thank you for the years of sacrifice, the years of serving, the blood, the sweat, the tears. I pray, God, that God, you would use that for your kingdom and for your glory. And God, I pray that as a church family, we would celebrate this faithfulness in a way that honors you. God, I pray that you continue to use him to help him to run his race well. God, bless his family, minister to him. And Lord, we just love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great day.